Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Here's a story that is so tragic, and it could have been most likely prevented. Calgary police are investigating the domestic homicide of a mother and wife. And her husband's body was found nearby. This was in an elementary school earlier this week in the city. Police had been to the family residence several times and had repeatedly charged the husband, who was then released by the courts on a no-contact order, which obviously the husband ignored. Criminal law professor Doug King said, quote, a restraint order, a no-contact order, was placed on him. He violated it twice. And each time he violated it, he would have had to have been before a judge again to look at his release. I question what was the logic behind releasing him out after his second violation. We're joined by Professor Doug King, Justice Studies Professor at Mount Royal University in Calgary. Professor King, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
A terrible situation which resulted in two deaths, and the justice system and the bail system. Am I fair in saying that the systems, justice and its offshoot, the bail system, must accept at least some significant responsibility?
You know, I think those are important questions to ask. I think there are several questions I have still in my mind. But I think first and foremost, I think we have to ask ourselves, why would someone who has been charged with a sexual assault, had been charged with stalking, and it happened earlier in the summer, and then had violated no contact orders twice, and every time would have gone up for a judge to have the bail release conditions reviewed. Why did the judge decide it was appropriate to release this individual? The tragedy is also that we're never going to get an answer to that, because judges don't talk to the public to justify their opinions and positions. So we're going to be left asking questions we'll never get an answer to.
Hugely frustrating for the police as well.
Mm-hmm.
Terribly frustrating.
Yeah, you know, I can well appreciate the shock that the first responders had when they arrived at the scene, and then you start then cascading down to the reality that the court and the Calgary Police Service had actually issued an arrest warrant for the individual later that morning. Unfortunately, the murder had already happened. And so, you know, there's obviously bureaucratic, you know, blocks in terms of communication. Another half day, perhaps this might not have happened. One of the questions I do have is that if an arrest warrant was being considered, did the offender's lawyer know about that and notify the offender, say, the evening before? And was that the trigger that could have been the catalyst to all of this? That's why the Calgary Police Service, rightly so, has asked the province to do an investigation. We need to know more, and the Calgary Police Service knows that they need a little bit of hands off on this investigation and let others do it.
An inescapable question is, how frequently might this be happening across Canada, where a situation where an individual is considered a threat to his spouse or significant other, and domestic violence has been addressed by the police and charges have been filed and the court allows bail to take place, as happened in Calgary? Is there any way that we can even guesstimate how frequently this may be going on in this country?
The tragedy is no. I have lots of reasons why it's a difficult assessment to make, is that as we are talking right now, There are likely individuals who are being victimized by domestic violence in their homes by their partners in Calgary and in every city and community that your listeners are living in right now. The pervasiveness of domestic violence is shocking, and it has actually been on the increase in terms of being reported to the police over the last 10 years, and it just skyrocketed during the pandemic. Now, most non-contact orders, restraining orders, generally work. The individual who receives them is smart enough to realize that if they violate it, they get into a lot more trouble than they currently are facing. But the reality is there are people like this offender earlier this week, who are not in any way restricted by it. In fact, they could be empowered by it, could anger them even more. So remember that a lot of domestic violence is a act of control. I want power and control over the person that I'm using violence against. And so if they try and take a little bit of the power back, that enrages some of them. And unfortunately, we end up getting situations like we saw earlier this week.
Professor King, what do you think of the bail reform that's underway?
Yeah, good question. So the federal government of Canada implemented bail reform earlier this year, early January. The latest reforms came in. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't think they go far enough. What the reforms amounted to were if a person who was before the court had committed a criminal offense within the last 5 years, from a list of offenses, and they range from sexual assaults to, use of weapons and things like that. If they were before the court again, having used a weapon, there would be greater restrictions on them being able to get bail. That's a small number of people who are in the criminal justice system. We could have done it a different way, and I was an advocate for this. There's something called Section 469 offenses in the Criminal Code of Canada, and they are a list of offenses that are what we call reverse onus offenses, where it's up to the accused to argue why they should get bail, as opposed to the current model where the Crown has to make that argument. We could easily add more offenses to that, Section 469. It would be cleaner, it would be easier. But the federal government didn't go that route, and the Canadian Associations of Chiefs of Police didn't take up that possibility. So again, an incremental change in bail reform that came in 2 weeks ago won't have much effect at all on situations like this.
So it's not improbable that what happened earlier this week in Calgary may happen elsewhere in this country. Very soon, there was a terrible situation in Sault Ste. Marie, very recently.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of this being a recurring situation, quite high, yes?
I think it's more than a likelihood. I think it's almost a certainty. The thing that made the Calgary situation so kind of startling and has captured a lot of attention, rightly so, is the fact that it was done in public view in front of a school, in front of an elementary school. We have to understand that that people are being killed in domestic interpersonal violence in their homes on a regular basis across Canada. And if they're not being murdered, they're being assaulted, and they're oftentimes petrified to come forward. Ultimately, resolving domestic violence issues is not a criminal justice issue. It's a broader social issue. And I just, if I could leave one thing, is I would ask each of your listeners to ask yourself, do you think anybody you know might be a victim of domestic violence? And if you do, you should be empowered to do something about that. Don't just ignore it, because you could be putting their life at risk.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.